You're listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, produced by The Banyan Collective. Find more mind-blowing podcasts at thebanyancollective.com and on iTunes. The Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. Adventure for your ears.
You haven't lived until you've heard the show Americans are talking about. The show that launches its listeners to the height of humanity. The audio hour that travels the landscape of adventure. The sound that comforts more than the clip of your first bolt. It's the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show!
Outdoor Adventure summits the airwaves. It is the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. I'm your host, R. Brandon Long. I'm belay with you for the next hour. Joined today by the best co-host in all the land, Todd to the Top. We are in the Gear 30 Lounge, and we are going to FaceTime with a gentleman from Ogden who is now hiking the Pacific Crest Trail all the way through from the Mexico border up into Canada, and his name is Bryden Boley. So we'll chat with him in just a minute. Also, we'll give you some on the docket and like pretty much one news story, but it's an important news story, as well as a survey, like a runner survey from Western States, which is pretty interesting. So if you're thinking about, oh, what are the ultra runners actually running in? What are they, what packs are they using? Maybe what socks are they using? This survey gives some insight into that. And it's pretty cool, including like what headlamps are they using. I'll give you something worth reading, a really funny one, and then one that's a little more serious but pretty interesting about hiking and just never stopping hiking, like the Forrest Gump version of hiking. Also, quote of the week, outdoor jukebox, and more on this episode. It's the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show 277 PCT. So let's charge.
He summits with the agility of a mountain goat, flashes routes faster than UPS, is more intimate in the mountains than Jake Gyllenhaal. He's Todd to the Top.
All right, so we are now with connected to here on FaceTime, Bryden Boley, who is currently chilling where, in a coffee shop or something?
I wish. I'm in McDonald's. I'm in a McDonald's in Burney, California,
because they have the best Wi-Fi.
That's all we needed, was a strong Wi-Fi connection.
And I also ate a fruit parfait from McDonald's. So
okay, so let's start there. You are currently through hiking the PCT, and how is the nutrition coming along?
That's actually funny that you say that. Not so good. You know, that it's really kind of if my diet out here is just so bad that it's almost comical. Just lots of Snickers bars, lots of Knorr rice sides, mashed potatoes, ramen, tuna, just really nasty things. So the diet is not going so well, but it's good.
So our listeners, take note.
Yeah. Take note, listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So before you left, did you kind of have an idea that that's what it would be like, though?
I did. I had a really good idea of what the diet would be like. I was lucky enough to have some friends who have hiked long distance before, who are in Ogden. And so that was really cool. And I just met up and got some coffee with them, and they gave me the down low on what I'd be force feeding myself day in and day out.
So where'd the idea stem from? Now, let's back things up a little bit. We first had you on the show for Ride Local First.
That's right.
You're sort of famous. Famous local snowboarder here.
Yeah. I guess, if that's what someone wants to call me, yeah.
I love it. You signing autographs on the trail, is it?
Yeah, everyone knows about Ride Local First on the trail.
I'm sure. Well, that's good. So you went from that to what? Like now, were you thinking about doing this before you were filming for that? Or how long have you had this hike in mind?
That's a great question, actually. In fact, Ride Local First hindered this hike. So I've been thinking about hiking this trail for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And it all started in Mount Hood, actually. Myself, Cody Lee, Chase Birch, and Tristan Sadler, all of us at times were working in Mount Hood, and you know, I had heard about the Pacific Crest Trail over the years, but one day Chase and I were on the chairlift, and there were some thru hikers underneath the chairlift walking on the trail. And I had said, hey, those guys look like they've come a long way. And Chase goes, yeah, that they're hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. So I like immediately got inspired and kind of freaked out, you know, like had heard about it over the years. And I think I didn't know that it came through Mount Hood. It was kind of an eye opener for me. So I think it all started really, really started going in my mind 3 years ago when I worked in Mount Hood.
Yeah, sweet. So from there, you put it all together and you started this spring. What was your start date?
My start date was April 14th.
April 14th.
Yeah,
we're doing the math right now.
We're looking up on 3 months, yeah?
Yeah.
Coming up on 3 months, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. With a little bit of time off in with my parents and family in Pennsylvania for a wedding. But so bounced over there for a little bit and then came back here and have been hiking ever since.
Now, when we spoke briefly, you had to skip the Sierras, too much snow.
Correct. And that's actually been something my other hiker friends and I have been sort of bummed about, and it's, you know, it's a little bit bittersweet. So I actually did 89 miles of it, and plus a 16 mile trip off the PCT to summit Mount Whitney.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've done 89 miles of it, but so it was a really harsh winter, lot of snow up there, and it makes traveling, hiking on the PCT very slow and very strenuous and annoying.
Yeah, I bet.
It's just and you know, it's constant cramp on snow travel. You're walking across sun-cupped snowfields for days, and when you come from the desert doing 20, 25 miles a day, and you go up into the High Sierra and you're doing 5 to 10 miles maximum, you really get stressed out. So the whole reason I actually flipped up to Northern California is because I did the math and I was worried about moving so slow through the High Sierra that I wouldn't be able to finish the whole trail. And that's really important to me, to be able to finish the entire thing. So I flipped, and I'll go back later on this season.
Yeah.
Kids, though, pay attention. That's why math is important. Math is important.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've got all my times tables, all my long division down.
What's your drop dead date? No pun intended. When do you have to wrap it up by?
Date wise,
when
you know,
done?
They say, yeah, when I'm done, okay. But they say October 1st is pushing it. They say you want to finish, hit that border in Canada by September 25th.
Okay.
But, I will finish. Yeah. Like if I need to, I'll walk with snowshoes up there and I'll finish the trail. So it might be pushing October 10th, 15th. Whatever it may be. Hopefully not then, but I'll definitely, I think it'll be around there sometime.
How's it going so far? Happy with it? I mean, besides the detour, everything good or?
Oh my gosh. It is the most amazing thing I've ever done. It's, I don't even know where to begin. It's just, the fact of traveling a long distance by foot, and you're accessing all these, so every 5 to 7 days you go through some random town, and it's definitely a town you would probably never go to unless you're on the PCT. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And just the people that you meet, there's people on the trail from all over the world. You know, I'd say 10 out of 10 hikers, 7 of them are not from the United States. So that's really cool. You're camping in the wilderness and you're so removed from society. You have a lot of alone time. Everyone is like-minded and has the similar interests of being in the outdoors. And I mean, everything about it, there's nothing bad to it. It's amazing.
Well, I searched the Pacific Crest Trail, and as I was typing it into Google, you know how Google finishes it for you? And it said,
yeah,
it said Pacific Crest Trail deaths. Like, that was that was like the first thing that came up.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah.
So
what's this transition, Brandon? Let's keep moving. Yeah.
Okay. So then I found this blogger who's pretty funny, and I'm gonna ask you too, like, how you're documenting, because coming from, you know, like, you just did a film, and so you're probably taking a lot of either still photos or videos, or you're journaling, I'm assuming. But this guy's blog, Halfway Anywhere, is pretty hilarious. I don't know if you've seen his.
I know who Halfway Anywhere is. I don't know him personally, but I know that blog. Yeah,
he has one article.
And I've heard he's funny.
Oh yeah, no, he's very yeah. One article is like, "Why You Will For Sure Die Hiking the PCT." Because I mean, he did it, right? Like, yeah. And then this other one is like, 17 things scarier than bears on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So lightning. Oh, man. So have you come across lightning?
I was close to lightning. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. There is lightning.
Unmarked trail junctions.
Definitely.
All right. Killer bees.
Yes, I've avoided those.
I like this list so far. Yeah.
Giardia. Oh, that'd be bad. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't gotten that. At least I don't think so.
Okay. Dehydration or just effects from the sun.
Big time. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, especially early on.
Yeah, even up here, actually. Yeah. Even up in, yeah, yeah. In the desert, you're actually really concerned about your water. So I'd say I stayed hydrated more in the desert than I did in the High Sierra and then up in Northern California, because you don't really think about your water because it's everywhere. Right. So I don't know. Oh, I'll skip this water source. I'll keep going. Oh, I'll skip that one too. So you never, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Poisonous plants.
Oh yeah, there is a lot of plants out here. Poison oak. Crazy. I mean, every poison plant you could think of.
There's everything on the trail wants to kill him. Everything.
Okay, this one's a tough one. Butt chafing.
Oh no, that's very accurate.
We're like 7 for 7 already. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh shoot. Oh no. Okay. Yeah, so. All right. What do you use then? What's the secret ingredient?
To chafing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. Hardcore. Yeah.
It's yeah, I don't know. You kind of just walk it off, and at night you just kind of walk it off. It eventually goes away. It's kind of brutal, but yeah, I've had big problems with that, actually.
Oh man, that sucks.
I like this solution is just to walk it off.
Yeah,
just walk it off, man.
Yeah.
Rub some dirt on it.
Rub some trail on it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Have you run into any bicyclists? That's also on the list.
Oh man, bicyclists.
They're not supposed to be on the trail, by the way.
No, they are not. And there's signs everywhere. I have not run into anybody on a bike. Okay. No, I haven't.
Good.
And I haven't heard anybody who has.
Mosquitoes.
Oh, my friend just told me. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are everywhere. At night, I was, funny, it's, I don't know, 6:45 at night, and then as soon as the sun is just going down, it's like, okay, it's mosquito time.
Oh, wow.
And I was walking along the other day, and I stopped for a second and looked down, probably 50 just swarming around me. They're just everywhere.
That's some naked and afraid stuff.
They're
there.
Like the plague out here.
Yeah.
Naked and afraid, yeah.
You see any cars on the trail?
Brutal if you're naked out here with the mosquitoes.
Yeah, for sure. Have you got any cars, unleashed dogs?
I almost got bit by a dog.
Oh, jeez.
Never any cars. This guy's good. This guy's got a good list of funny things to hide from on the PT. He's pretty accurate.
How about the boogeyman? Meaning, like, and this is kind of a serious question, though. The boogeyman is that man that when it's dark and you're alone and every noise, you know, could be something. How many times have you been a little nervous just because?
I am a bit nervous sometimes, and it's mainly because they walk around your tent a lot at night because apparently they really like your sweat.
Who's
and
this?
They'll try to lick your trekking poles.
Oh, who?
Deer.
Oh, deer. Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll try to.
I didn't know that. That's funny. Yeah.
Lick your trekking poles or something. And at night you don't know what they are. So you'll hear these big footsteps around your tent. And, sometimes I'll poke my head out of my tent and go, "Hey," and then they run away. But, yes, I've been pretty scared sometimes.
Yeah.
Cause you don't know what it is. You might think you might be a bear or a mountain lion. Which people I've had experiences with.
Yeah. Have you seen all the wildlife? Bears, mountain lion, moose?
I just saw a bear the other day, and it was a really, it was up close and personal. So that was cool.
Yeah.
we made eye contact.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we made eye contact. It was up close and personal. We had a moment.
It was cool. You did have a moment. Like, you guys are bros
luckily,
now.
There was a,
you got a cell phone number.
Yeah, we're homies. Yeah. Luckily, there was a boiling river from a hot pot in Lassen National Park running across us. So I think that was my protection, at least.
Wow. Black bear?
Yeah, it was a California brown bear, which is the same thing. But it was really beautiful. It was all blonde.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blonde bear. It was cool.
Oh, that's crazy.
I love the bear.
Have you found any rogue cows? Was another one on the list that he was afraid of?
Yeah. Yeah, cows are a problem out here, man.
I love this list.
So I've come to find that they're...
Cows are a problem. Yeah. That's so funny. Or not.
They're very territorial.
And they don't move.
Look at you, and they seem, they're threatening. Yeah, so they're kind of a problem. They're scarier than what a bear would be, almost.
Oh my gosh!
Did he ask something?
The whole cow thing was pretty funny in general, but it's actually not funny. Like, those things are big.
Oh. Yeah, and they have big horns too. The ones that I've seen have huge horns.
Yeah.
So that's a, yeah.
And I like the last thing on their list here.
Yeah, the last one is poop. Get used to it. You're going to see all kinds of poop on the trail. Dog poop, cow poop, horse poop, human poop, all the poop.
Yeah, that is that's true too. Oh, there's in fact, actually, so the PCT is also a horse trail.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of horse poop. But you'll see bear poop, you'll see deer poop and bird poop and all sorts of poop. But actually, just the other night, a lot of cow poop too, big cow patties. So most of the time, all this poop is really dry. It's just like crusty and been there for months at a time.
Yeah.
And so you get so used to it being dry that every now and then you step on it and it's totally fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I was walking the other night and... I'm walking along and I'm like, oh, I'll step on this. And it was I stepped right into a fresh cow patty and it was gooey and fresh. And yeah, it was, it sucked.
Well, that was the end of his list there. And be warned. Yeah. Watch for poop. What? Let's go over a little bit of gear. Like, you did spend some money right here in this shop, Gear 30, before you left. What's working for you? Is there a shoe that you like, or trekking poles, or a backpack? Like, what are some things that you've learned, or maybe would do different?
Yeah. What'd you bring that you got rid of right away?
Right. Like, that didn't work.
Okay, that'll be easy. So one of the things that I bought at Gear 30 actually was a Western Mountaineering sleeping bag, and that was a 25 degree, and that's actually my favorite piece of equipment.
Yeah.
It's really warm. You can just tell it's really durable. It's it just seems like it's gonna last a long time. One of the things that I got away with, like ditched it into a hiker box, is a tent footprint. Just wasn't really, I don't know, I didn't really use it. What else? A lot of like different types of clothing you don't really need. Mm-hmm. And right now I have too much clothing. I'm actually gonna mail some up to my friend in Portland, but yeah, too much clothing, you really don't need that much. You can really just be minimalist with like your food, the type of stuff you use for a stove, trekking poles. I have them, but I don't even really want them anymore. Actually, you can just, I prefer to walk without them, but some people really like them.
Yeah.
What else?
You went top shelf with the sleeping bag though.
Yeah. That was a big investment for sure. And it was worth it. It was definitely worth it.
Yeah. What shoes are you hiking in? Have you changed different shoes, like from sneakers to hikers or hiking boots? Sneakers. I said sneakers.
So like, the whole time I've been hiking, sneakers. Skechers shoes. Skechers.
Hashtag Skechers.
Yeah. That would be so cool if someone was hiking in those. So I've been hiking the whole time in a shoe called the Merrell Moab. Mm-hmm. And it's the ventilator edition. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, one of the biggest questions for me when I was starting this hike was, are you going to use waterproof shoes? And, you know, you are sweating so much throughout the day in your feet that the waterproofing inside of the shoe doesn't ventilate. So you really want to get shoes that aren't waterproof, just kind of a trail runner style shoe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've been using the Merrell Moab the whole time, and I've really, really liked it. And I'm on my second pair right now, but I'm about to get a third pair.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is, I'm not getting a new pair because the tread's worn out. I'm getting a new pair because your feet, since you walk so far a day, your feet actually swell up and expand.
Right.
And my shoes are too small now. So I need to get a full size, bigger or something, in a wide version, something like that.
So you're part hobbit now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. But I think I might get some Skechers.
Some Skechers. Or some Vans, you know.
Vans, yeah. Or you could go to Crossroads. You could get some skate shoes.
Yeah. We'll ship you some. It'll be fun. What's something that you didn't bring with you and then you picked up later, like you wish you had from the beginning?
Ooh, that's a good question. Something that I wish I had. Man, I'm going to need a second. Oh, I know. Coffee.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you forget coffee?
Well, funny story. I'm a pretty heavy coffee drinker, and I decided, all right, this will be a cleansing time. I'm going to see if I can go the whole trail without coffee because, you know, I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm addicted to coffee, blah blah blah. But a month and a half went by, and I was totally fine. There's no side effects of being addicted to the coffee or whatever. And so I called Cody and I said, "Hey man, could you send me some grounds for coffee?" and he mailed it to me, and it's been amazing.
Well, how are you cooking on the trail? What are you using?
I'm using a jet boil.
Yeah. With the press.
I'm using a jet boil, and yes, I'm using the French press.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
And it's going really well. Yeah, I like it a lot. Some people use an MSR pocket rocket thing, mm-hmm. with a little I don't know, a little pan or whatever. And then some people actually don't even have stoves. They they just eat food that they don't cook. Yeah, you just I don't know, ramen. They just eat ramen without cooking it. My friend just held up a ramen thing.
Crunchy ramen. Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, crunchy ramen.
Again, we're talking to Bryden from Ogden, hiking the PCT. How many miles have you got underfoot now?
Right now, I believe
I missed it. How many was that?
Can you hear me? I said, right now, I believe I've gone 1,056 miles.
Jeez. And how many pounds lost?
I'm pretty shocked.
Oh, our connection has been cutting out a little bit. So
can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. What was the pounds? You think you're down some weight?
I'm gonna try to move somewhere else. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
What
I got
about
you.
Now?
No, yeah, you're good. You're down a few pounds.
I believe I've lost 25 pounds already. So that's
significant.
Crazy.
That's significant. Hey, Bryden, I'm stoked. Thank you so much for FaceTiming with us. When can you come back on, like another month, and give us an update?
Yeah, that'd be great. Sweet. I could definitely do that in a month.
Okay. Yeah, and then when you come back, we'll get you on a mic here in town in Tan Van down by the river, and get some of your best stories.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be awesome.
I think we could probably talk to you for hours and hours. So with that, right before we let you go, let's hear like maybe your best story you've got so far on the trail.
Ooh, okay. Well, I've got a couple funny things. All right, I'll tell you guys this one. This one's a little embarrassing, though.
That's the best one.
Those are the best, yeah.
Okay, so one would assume that bathrooms everywhere you go. So out here, we poop in the woods, you dig a hole, and it was around Big Bear in the desert somewhere. And, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. So... So I'm on the trail, and your diet out here is so bad that it just hits you. So I dart off the trail and go over and sit down on this log and start doing my thing. And come to find out, I had sat down on a log infested with red ants that were biting. me.
Not good.
No, the story gets even worse and more embarrassing. So all these red ants are, you know, just infesting me. They're all over my legs, all over everywhere, biting me. So I'm in the middle of doing this, you know, doing my thing, and I'm going, and all these, you know, I'm assuming I'm alone, so I'm going, damn it, shit. You know, all these ants are all over me, biting me. And so I'm yelling, and then you know, I power through this moment, and
you buckle down,
finish doing my thing. And yeah. And then as I clean up, do my thing, start getting back onto the trail, I look up, and these people were camped like up on top of this bluff that was just right visible of where I was doing all this. and they go, "Hey, Bryden." And I'm like, "Oh, hey." and the way that they said, "Hey, Bryden," you could just tell that they had witnessed this entire fiasco. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, I love this story.
And it was, yeah.
Now my ass itches. Like it itches right now. So thank you for that story. Yeah.
You're welcome. I'm sure your vision would feel like.
Oh my God. All right. So do we call you by the trail name now? Is that how we're supposed to do this, or are we not allowed to because we're not on the trail?
It doesn't matter. I think anything. I don't know. Whatever you want.
Well, it disconnected, so we missed the trail name anyway. So I don't know. We missed it. Hey, Bryden, stay safe out there, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It was super fun.
Sweet.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Just for briefly, okay. Like in and out. So I'll message you as soon as we get this up into the world here.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Be safe, care. Man. Thank you
for having me.
Watch out for those ants.
All right. See you guys. Yeah, I will. Bye.
Later.
See ya.
Oh, that was epic. I loved it.
What'd we do last week? Yeah.
Not that. I'm also.
You hear those stories and you're like, A, jealous, and B, like, how far could I do it? You know, like, how far could I get in?
And he's in such good spirits. Like, he's having a ball out there. So
now he's like your dream hiking partner, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Like super.
The spirit's
positive.
Up. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So that's he's our weekly happy and interview all rolled into one. Cause how can you,
that's
how can
exactly
you beat
him,
that? Right. Yeah. So, On the docket, coming up this weekend is the Antelope by Moonlight bike ride up there at the Antelope Island, of all places, if you can believe that, underneath the moon.
That's the time to get out, though, man. It is hot.
Yeah, so last night I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go hike Malin's when it cools off, like in the evening when it cools off.
So that would be around
3 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got the windows and things open because without the AC in my little cabin. And it was like, it doesn't cool off until about 3.
About 3
or 4,
yeah. It was 95 degrees at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, no bueno.
So that's
because that the time to go is first thing in the morning.
Like 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is sold out, actually. The watercolor travel posters with Liesl Cannon at Ogden's Union Station. So she does these watercolors of landscapes of like national parks and stuff, and they're travel posters.
Oh, nice.
That have been watercolored. But the tours to see the artwork, it's sold out. So
That's cool. Congrats on that.
Yeah,
that's
great. On July 8th on Saturday. But was that Saturday? Yeah. But you can't. I guess you can't. You know, we'll tell you about it. But yeah, good luck. It's already sold out.
Secondary market tickets, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Weber State Outdoor Program with their Summer Summit series, started by yours truly here back in the day, but no longer. Ben Lomond is also on Saturday. Ogden Classic, and then also on Ogden or on Saturday is the Mount Ogden Park Gathering. So they're doing acro yoga, slackline, and Cards Against Humanity.
That is a good trio. That's a great gathering.
It's open to the public. Just go hang out at the Mount Ogden Park, and it's a quote-unquote gathering, for whatever that means.
That kind of sounds like a good afternoon.
Yeah. On Sunday, they're the Ogden Outdoors group, the Facebook group, they're doing the Great Ben Lomond Hike from 7 to 5. So you got two options this weekend to hike Ben Lomond. You can go with Weber Outdoor Program, or you can hang out with the Ogden Outdoors group on
That's
Sunday.
A full day's hiking, man.
Yep. And also, Weber Outdoor Program is doing a stand-up paddleboard adventure to Causey. It's an all-day thing. $30 for students, $45 for non-students, and that is also, I think, on Sunday.
And that's 45 days straight of paddleboarding.
45 days straight. Yeah. 45 a day, yeah. And then Gear 30, we're doing ours on the following Wednesday, so July 19th. It's a Gear 30 SUP meetup. So we do $15 for an hour at Windsurfer Beach. And then, so there's two different ways to do that. If you want to spend more time on the water, check out Weber State Outdoor Program. If you just want to cruise up with some friends, family, we have people bring their kids and pay $15 per board per hour. And we bring it all up there. You just show up.
And you've done this a few times now, right?
We've done it twice.
So you're kind of dialing it down.
Windsurfer and at Causey. So it's been... The feedback is fantastic, and every time we do it, people say they're going to bring more friends the next time. So it's really easy because they just have to show up. You know, you don't have to do anything but show up, and we'll show you how to do it. Fairhouse Mountain Guiding has a self-rescue clinic on July 22nd. It's $150 if you're into learning more about self-rescuing while rock climbing. And then there's a ladies' day up at Causey. Like, all the ladies will be there. So the dudes listening, if you hear this, keep July 30th in mind. And either don't go up.
I would say keep away. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's hosted by SheShreds.co. It's Ladies Day up at Causey on July 30th. Anything else coming up? There's a new Goal Foundation race up at Powder Mountain. It's the El Doce. Is it El Doce? Or El Dos? El Dos?
Doce is 12.
El Dos. So there's a 12-hour and a 6-hour mountain bike race, team race up at Powder Mountain. Fun for all your mountain bike friends. That's new. It's on August 19th. That'll be blast because it's all on the new trails up there. Yeah,
we're reaching into summer now.
Is it
we're getting
summer?
Kind of into thick
hot?
Of it.
Yeah,
we are officially deep into summer by the end of August. Yeah.
Well, speaking of in the thick of it, how did I skip the 4th annual Snowbird Oktoberfest beard and mustache competition?
That was really fun. We did that a few years ago.
Yeah. So
I gotta start growing it.
I was gonna say, what's the Vogue right level here? Like, I think when we went 2 years ago, it was beards were in top Vogue. Like, that was the thing. They've sort of faded a little with the.
I'm starting to see a lot more mustaches.
Yes.
And so maybe it'll you know,
lean heavier in the mustache category and less.
Beards
in the beard.
Are timeless. Let's be honest, they're timeless. People who've got those kind of beards, they don't pay attention to the trends. Like, they have to beard. You know, that's, beard is a verb for them.
That's a shirt, isn't it? Like, I have to beard.
Must beard. Beard for life.
Well, let's talk about in the news, the only news that is necessary is Outdoor Retailer will no longer be in Salt Lake. We all know that.
But it is officially official.
It's officially official that they chose Denver. They cheated on us and they went to Denver and they will marry Denver for a few years.
We can't hate on Denver for this. I mean,
Denver sucks.
They needed a city to go to, obviously.
So they released a statement. For 35 years, Outdoor Retailer has enjoyed the trust of the outdoor community who know we can be relied upon to propel our industry forward. And in that spirit, we announced that Denver, Colorado, has been selected as Outdoor Retailer's new home for all shows, which includes the Outdoor Retailer Snow Show, Outdoor Retailer Summer Market, and the Outdoor Retailer Winter Market, which will be so... We get two pops at it in 2018 because they're going to do the traditional times in February of 2018. Then they're also going to do an early winter market in November 2018. So 2018 will be busy for the show.
They're going hard.
The shows will be the show will stage at the Denver Convention Center beginning in January 25th through 28th, 2018. And then in July. See, they would never do this in Utah because it's July 23rd through 26th. And because July 24th. Is Pioneer Day in Utah.
This is true. That's a sacred time here. You don't step on those weekends.
No. Where would anybody stay? And so of course it's going to be over Pioneer Day weekend in Colorado. Are they rubbing salt in the wounds of Utahns right now? Is this what they're doing?
It's a good weekend. It's just it's a different weekend here.
Well, anyway.
Or maybe they are. Who knows?
They took a little jab at Utah. It says, while we now turn to the future, I must say that the support of Salt Lake City community was essential in helping Outdoor Retailer grow and thrive over the past 22 years. We love Utah and the Salt Lake City community. Though the show may be departing, we continue to support and visit Utah's public lands, communities, retailers, and brands. However, directly after that, they say Denver was selected not only because it met the logistical criteria to host a successful show, but also because the state of Colorado shares the industry's passion for outdoor recreation and preserving public lands.
Which was, of course, the reason they left.
Yeah. So there's your shot there as to why they bolted. One of the major reasons they bolted out of Utah and went to Colorado. Thoughts? Colorado, Denver.
It's new more home. Of a drive. I do know that, well, for us it is, yeah. But yeah. Everything's going to be further apart, you know? That's one thing that's such a beauty here is that, you know, the downtown, the convention center, the location to the demo days, you know, everything is just so close to everything.
Well, when
it's going to be hard to beat.
For 2 or 3 years in a row, the summer demo was at Pineview. Doesn't really get better than that for us who live in Ogden. I mean, that's perfect. Yeah. So that's no longer. In fact, this year's not even at Pineview. It's... is it Deer Creek Reservoir? It's down there. It's behind Salt Lake somewhere. This was an interesting in the news. Speaking of, this is not really news, but it's survey results from this year's Western States 100 Mile Run. If you were ever curious on what the 100 mile athletes are wearing, what are they eating, that kind of stuff, so they broke this down. It's a survey. You can go to WSER.org. That's the Western States website, and they have a runner survey results. It's phenomenal. It's interesting. I think the shoes break down. Who wore the most shoes in all the runners? 25% was Hoka, and 23% Ultra, followed by 11% Salomon, and Brooks, and then we have a hodgepodge of Nike, Saucony, New Balance, Lost Sport, Pearl Izumi, Montrail, Innovate, and then a whole bunch of other ones. So
Hoka and Ultra owning it, huh?
Hoka and Ultra are definitely owning it. Now, by sub-24-hour finishers, which for those unfamiliar, if you are a sub-24-hour finisher of a 100-mile race, you are fast. And
you're not human.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you finish a 100-mile race, you're pretty darn athletic, and your fortitude is amazing. But if you're sub 24 hours, you are fast. So, and that's Ultra 31%. So, and then, so the faster runners are in Ultras, and then Hoka One or 1-1 at 15%. And then others, random 28%. You got Pearl Izumi hanging in there, 4%, Saucony 4%, Brooks 8%, and Salomon at 12.
People, especially at that level, they're very loyal to their shoe too, I'm guessing.
I would assume, because you find a shoe that works and you don't really mess with it. So what about socks? In Gingy, a huge share, 28%, and Dry Max at 25%. So I thought Features would be more. They're down at 5%. Darn Tough's not very big at 3%. Smart Wool's only 3%. And I don't even see Icebreaker on the list. So, or yeah.
This is a cool study.
It's pretty cool. So
and there's pie charts, which I love.
These are. I didn't know that about you.
Thank you. I love pie charts.
So are you looking for a headlamp to go running with? Well, the ultra runners definitely have a favorite.
Well, they definitely have a favorite.
And that is Petzl at over 50% are using Petzl, followed by Black Diamond at 27%. And then there's a breakdown between Princeton Tech, Zebra, which I never heard of, AYUP, and then a bunch of others, including Mammut, Phoenix. Energizer made the list at sub 0%, but it's on there. Yeah, and the lighting choice for the sub-24-hour runners, Petzl at 49%. Yeah, so there's your, if you're looking for a running headlamp, maybe check out Petzl. Hydration packs. So you're looking for a new running pack. Ultimate Direction up at 20, is that 23 or 25? 25%. Solomon is a huge pie, huge part of the pie right there. What's that, 23. So Ultimate Direction's number one, 25. Solomon, 23. Nathan Hydration coming in third at 19%. And then Ultra Spire's got a decent chunk at 9%. So there's your, and then what are the fast ones? Or was that, yeah, sub 24. Ultimate Direction, 20%. Nathan, 20%. So tied. Solomon, 17. Ultra Spire at 9%. Yeah. Diet. This one's my favorite one. Let's check this out.
This is over 3/4 of the pie. Goes towards what?
76% say they are not on any diet at all. All the beer, all the ice cream.
I don't know if that's all the exactly watermelon, what that means.
But all the They say, yeah, so if you think that your keto or veggie diet or vegan diet or paleo or whatever will make a huge difference in your finishing or your performance in an ultra, it may.
I'm guessing, but that's probably a combination. It's just kind of at that point what works for you.
What works for you, yeah, because 75 to 76% of the runners said, we ain't on no stinking diet.
I'm telling you, right? Though. These guys aren't having a Big Mac necessarily, you know, during the run.
I think they're having all the Big Macs during the run. Yeah. But they probably all eat pretty good.
The rest of the year, they probably eat pretty well.
Yeah, they're probably not hurting in that. So I loved this blogger. This is a great blogger. So worth reading. Halfway Anywhere.
Yeah, I say go check that out. And it sounds like, especially after talking to Braden.
Yep, Bryden.
Bryden, sorry.
Bryden Boley. Yep.
That this author got it right.
One of the ones is you'll probably die hiking the PCT. Sorry. So, and it's a whole blog on how and why you will die and why your sorry ass is actually hiking it because nobody likes you. And it's pretty funny.
So everything's trying to kill you.
A whole list
trail
of what's going to kill you. Nature, people. I like this one. Reckless hunters, serial murderers, accidental murderers, suicides, section hikers, drunk drivers, sleepy drivers, incompetent drivers, cattle drivers could kill you out there on the trail.
Oh my gosh.
This is
that list you want to show your mom right before you take off.
Right before
the trail.
You go. Yeah. That was pretty, it's pretty good. But actually another worth reading was a story out of The Guardian here, from theguardian.com. The man who went on a hike and never stopped walking.
This is the Forrest Gump story here.
Yeah, Nimble Will Nomad is what he calls himself. It's like his trail name. It's on his 61st year, he decided to go for a walk, and now he's in his 70s, and he's still walking.
Oh, my God.
In his mid-70s. He's done the Triple Crown, so he did the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide Trail. That's 3, 5, 7, almost, it was 8,000 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Of hiking. And then that wasn't enough, so then he went and did 11 national scenic trails in 2013. So he gave up hiking for about like a year, and then he's back out hiking again. So this is a story about why he does what he does, and kind of what motivates him. And it's a little depressing because he's trying to find peace personally. So it sounds like he's a little disgruntled, and he just walks, man.
Hey, if you find that peace on the trail.
I mean, really the big deal was Bryden's interview this week. So did you have anything else?
Nope, we still have thanks to anyone and or their kids that have joined me at the Arts in the Parks program. We are going to be entering our sixth and final week next week at Lester Park. That's the park by our main library. Runs from noon to one Monday through Friday. Different activities every single day. It's been a huge turnout. Today, I had a special guest visitor. I had a couple, yeah.
Yeah.
Isla came with April, and Joe showed up a little bit later. So we made banjos and kazoos and little
out of like a paper
shaker
plate.
Sticks and things. They're all very clever. I came up with a few of these myself, so I'll be honest. But but it's clever how simply put together they are and how well they sort of work. But it's been a great, great turnout. I'll bet there was 150, 170 kids today.
Holy cow.
In a very short period of time.
This is free for the kids, right?
Free for the kids. Free lunch program, that's what it's kind of along with. That runs from about 11:30 to 12 o'clock. Kids can grab some free food. And then some discounted food if parents want to eat with their kids, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's been kind of eye-opening. It's, I can now say that I've done this particular program. And, next year maybe I'll come up with a few new projects, maybe a few new entertainers. We had a band playing today so that the kids could play their kazoos with the band.
Oh,
so that's
like
kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to put a few words out. If you guys aren't familiar with the program, do check it out perhaps this next week.
You just search Arts in the Parks.
Arts in the Parks. Okay. Associated with Weber State University, so you really can't miss it. It's been going on for 7 or 8 years now. Science in the Parks runs a week after ours, and so they'll be at we're at Mount Ogden Park right now, and so they'll be in Mount Ogden Park next week.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of is one park behind where we are, but it's going on right now too, and it runs from about 11:30 to 1 o'clock Monday through Friday as well, and you can find that at scienceintheparks.com
or whatever .org or whatever. Just search it. Yeah.
Look it up.
Quote of the week: the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. That is from Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, which I just started reading. And I'm, about halfway through that already? That's
it looks
good
like
book.
A great book. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Just
written.
Just written.
Just came out last week, so check
off
that
the
out.
Greek press in year 160 or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, freshly written. That is the craziest thing about that book.
How timely it is to today.
Man. I mean, even that quote right there, but it just, he wrote this, 160 AD or whatever, and it is just as relevant in 2017, 2000 years later, as it was. I mean, they're all dealing with the same stuff, right?
Yeah, people are still making the same.
I mean, he was trying to
same
pick
decisions,
his,
distracted by the same things.
His Insta filter was giving him problems. He couldn't figure out which one to choose.
Pre-Instagram, just barely pre-Insta.
Yeah. Thank you to Go Zero, who typically supports us in this podcast, but we are plugged in today here at Gear 30 Lounge. But Go Zero typically powers us here, but we're at Gear 30. This is the 277th episode of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, thebanyancollective.com, and the Podbean app. iTunes is going through some changes in their podcast department. Have you noticed? I don't have one of their phones, and so I don't necessarily.
They've been running a podcast app for a while on their phone. It makes it super easy to subscribe to us. And so,
yeah.
Your phone has a podcast app, included with it. And so just look up the Banyan Collective. Everything's within there. And then just subscribe and it'll just pop up.
And it's Banyan, like B-A-N-Y-A-N, because people will search Banyan and O-N doesn't pop up.
It's I'm happy Banyan. To educate you all. It's Banyan.
Banyan, yeah. Also, if you have some feedback for us or you just want to chat, hit us up on Twitter. Seems to be the place to go these days. At Ogden Adventure or at Banyan Podcast.
There's some good stuff that comes out of Twitter.
And some really... really bad stuff
that a lot
comes
of that
out
too,
of yeah. Twitter, I guess, too. So this week's Outdoor Jukebox is Cul-de-sac Sadness, Paper Lights. As John Muir would say, the mountains are calling. And we're going to go.
Calling.